Good morning. 6:24 a.m. on August 24th. Is that right? 6:24, 8:24, 15. That would be amusing. 6:26 now, but yeah, that was probably 6:25 on 8:24. 2015. It is still 2015. It is still August. It is the 24th, a Monday, and oh, does it feel like a Monday? I'm exactly sure why it feels like a Monday. It feels like a Monday. I still haven't managed to walk both days on a weekend yet. Yesterday morning, it was almost yesterday afternoon before I crawled out of bed, largely because I stayed up way too late Saturday night, waiting for one of the children to come home from a date. And I got suckered into an Alan Black novel. Steel Walls and Dirt Drops. An interesting book. It was engaging, even though my critical brain kept finding technical flaws in the story. My story brain said, "Oh yeah, what happens next? What happens next?" So, even though it was pretty bad. I'm not going to lie to you. It was pretty badly flawed. Point of view issues. Ending was relatively lacking in terms of denouement. It just sort of the ship docked and then it stopped. Story was over. And while I appreciate that when the story's over, the book ends. There's also a reality that you need to have a little bit of something. I usually try to have a little bit of something at the ending to tell people it's okay, it's time to go home. Sort of like the old Tracy Ullman show where she would come out and thank the audience on the whole bit and then wave her hands in the air, go home. That's the denouement, that's the cool down at the end of the con. The blow-off in con game terms. I was up way too late reading that book, so I didn't get up until way too late yesterday morning, and so I didn't walk. I'm walking today. Today's Monday. It's a busy Monday. I've got therapy at 8. Kid has to be at school at 8, which means I'm going to get the wife up to take her to school. Take the kid to school so I can go to therapy. I've got to make a grocery run. It'll be mid-morning before I get back, so I'm hoping I'm going to get this thing posted before 8 o'clock for 8:45. 7:45. If not, it's going to be a little bit late, so shows up in your feed later this morning, that's why. So, the weekend, after taking Friday off, the weekend was involved in the first real pass, the first real revision of the book. I went through Saturday and Sunday, and found a few continuity errors, found a few things like the clerk was male in one scene and then female in the next, or vice versa. Some variation in ranks that, spec 2 in one scene, spec 1 in another, and then back to spec 2. I found some of those. I probably didn't find them all. But, I was looking for places where the plot was a little thin, where the story sort of faltered. I'm basically looking for places I could trim out. And The reality was that I couldn't find any. Every scene has something in it that moves the story along or establishes character, tone, setting, something. Every one. I actually added a few words. So when I got to the end, I actually had more words than when I started by about 100. So it's 99,700. And last night, I converted it to ebook for all of you anxious beta readers. If you want to be a beta reader, I ask two things. First, you have to be willing to read this like quick, like 3 days, 4 days at the most. I want this book back so I have a chance to get your feedback, incorporate your feedback before I have to pass it over to the editor in September. Now, I think it's the end of September, so we're not really bumping up against the deadline too badly. It's just that if I give it to her the 1st of September and somebody else is late, then I get to jump ahead in the queue, which means it comes out that much sooner. It's, the other thing is, all I want you to do is say yes or no. Does this book work or does this book not work? Is it too boring? It's classic Ishmael Wong. It's really navel-gazery. The goal of the book is to show Ishmael healing, to show Ishmael good morning, noisy truck. To show Ishmael regaining his resolve, hence the title. There are also other things that he's resolving throughout the book. So the title of the book, Resolve, is actually way applicable. It's probably the most applicable title I could have imagined for this book. So yeah. I'm very excited. I like the book. I like the story a lot. People who are looking for an action-filled space opera adventure, you're not going to find it. It's not going to be here. There's hints of things to come. There's a lot of foreshadowing. The book ends with them on the way to the yards. I probably shouldn't say it because it sort of spoils it, but it shouldn't come as any great surprise to anyone here how things are going to go. So, if you want to be a beta reader, if you want a copy of this, and you're listening to this podcast, leave a comment in the comments for today's post, August 23rd, and make sure you fill in your name and email address, and tell me whether you want a Mobi or an EPUB. I have both. The file names are a little bit funky, but I have both. And we'll see. So if you want to be a beta reader, and you can turn it around by the end of the week at the latest, earlier is better, leave a comment, and I will email you back a copy of the book. So yeah, progress. Next question is, what am I going to do now? And today's going to be a busy day. I've got all of this stuff that I've got to do, chores-wise, including mow the lawn. I dragged the hornet nest off the lawn, away from the shed where I have to get into to get the mower out. And so today is Monday. It's a not a sprinkler day, not an irrigation day. So the grass will probably be dry by the time I get home from therapy in the grocery store. So I'll be able to get in and mow that today. So I've got mowing, and then I've got to pick the kid up at 12:30. My wife is going to handle the drop-off this morning, for which I am very grateful. She's not a morning person. She doesn't like to get up in the morning. But 8 o'clock, she'll be up by 7. Anyway, I have to wake the kid up at 6:45. And I'll probably be making breakfast. Happens. So, yeah, there we are. Today's going to be kind of a choppy day. Monk post between that and sending out what I anticipate is going to be probably the largest collection of beta reader copies that I've ever sent out. I expect that to take up a large portion. A large portion of the day. A day. So, yeah, and beyond that, like, I'm thinking of as much as there's a certain attraction to getting back into Cape Grace, just to tie it off, just to get it finished up, because that's the least amount of words I have to write in order to get the next book in the pipeline. I'm being drawn toward Smuggler's One, and introducing y'all to Smuggler's Tales and the characters that are going to be playing along there. Good morning. Because I think a lot of questions that people have been asking in the Facebook group will sort of get addressed there. There are pirates. There are much more much more recognizable bad guys. I'm trying to improve my villains. I'm trying to get away from the sort of cardboardy villain that is David Burnside, that is Andy Birchwood, to get into something a little less, oh yes, I'm going to kill you just because I like to kill people. But, and while there certainly are those people, playing EVE Online, you find them all the time, because they just want to see things burn. Oh, which reminds me, okay, I'll go back to that. And EVE Online is understandable. The game sort of encourages it. I won't say it rewards it, because the game does not reward it. There is very little financial incentive to being a bully in EVE Online. But there are whole corporations of tens of thousands of people who are willing to take on that role and play that game. And it's like, okay, sure. That's not who I am. It's not the world I see. That's not the world Ishmael sees. But it might well be the world we're getting into. I hope not. I really want to maintain the sense of space opera is not just about major wars and killing stuff. I really want the dark side of the deep dark to be much more, the wrong side of the tracks, rather than chaotic evil. I'm sure there will be some chaotic evil, but I'm trying to come up with some villains. I'm trying to come up with some bad guys that aren't just cardboard. We're going to burn it down because I'm a sociopath, or we're going to burn it down because I'm a psychopath. So we'll see how this works out. I don't know. I have no idea how this is going to work, but we're going to give it a shot. There are a couple of people, Tara Lee's words, way back, have stayed with me. And that said, I hope you're not going to go to the old model, to violence for violence sake, to blood for blood's sake. And yeah, you know, that sort of echoes in my head. I don't want to go there. I want to try to figure out how to write a more convincing villain. I want to try to get back to perhaps a grittier view, because the Golden Age is kind of clean and sanitized, and there's a reason the Golden Age exists. And I need to talk about the dark side. What happens if you fall through the cracks? Where do you go? What do you do? How does that work? But speaking of burning things down, somebody asked me yesterday about the Hugos. And my basic opinion of the Hugos is, okay, fine, next. The reality is I'm unlikely to win a Hugo. The idea that this populist, sort of semi-populist voting process, a kind of viewer's choice award with a much narrower scope than, say, MTV, should be fraught with politics is like saying Boy Scouts have a lot of kids in it. That's undoubtedly true. A point would be, what exactly? I read a comment yesterday. It was like, well, there's plenty of dickishness on each side to go around, and I think that's probably true. I'm not exactly sure what the big shock and awe and surprise is. SIFWA has always had a old white dudes problem. The membership of Worldcon, which is the voting members of that create, in many cases, that create the Hugo Awards list, those people aren't necessarily representative of the old white dudes club. And there's an awful lot of voting that happens because it's largely impossible to read everything that gets shortlisted, or particularly nominated, but shortlisted for the Hugos. Finding them, tracking them down, buying them, reading them, that takes a lot of time. And particularly the novels, that takes a huge amount of time. So, yeah, you know, I'm sure that there's some books that probably deserved a Hugo, that probably in another year might have gotten the Hugo if it weren't for this popular book that everybody's buzzing about, or which is somehow resonant with the audience. There's an apocryphal story about the year Samuel R. Delaney won for Dahlgren, and how it was widely noised about that it was remarkable because because Delaney was black. And the comment was, Asimov made a comment when Delaney returned to his table after accepting his rocket, and because there was a lot of controversy about that award, and Asimov said, yes, of course, you know, it's a good thing you're black, otherwise the book wouldn't have gotten the award or something like that. And it was a joke. Asimov had a kind of an evil streak, apparently, and everybody had a good laugh, because clearly the book won, because it was a hell of a book. It's one of the reasons that I can't read post-epoch anymore, because after reading Dahlgren, everything is sort of like a hollow shell. Anyway, I am at the back gate. That's about all I'm going to say about the Hugos. I really don't have anything to say about it. It's like, it is what it is. It's a political, it always has been. As soon as you have three people in a room, you've got politics, deal with it. And that's about it. That's where I want to go. So, I'm at the back gate. Today's going to be filled with all kinds of things. Tomorrow is another day, and with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.